Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. If you saw the stagehand walking around back there while they were trying to sing, but I will talk to him so he doesn't do that again. Interrupting like that, how could he? This week was an interesting one here on the St. Andrews campus. At the moment, things are pretty quiet. VBS was a long time ago. The summer camp that we're privileged to rent to is done because the school year has begun. And yet there were some minor adventures that I didn't expect. Not really that interesting. Did you have any minor adventures this week? I'm pretty involved in the technology systems here at St. Andrews, and I've been working on some new software back there, a new setup that will help us broadcast a little bit more clarity and interest to those that are joining us really across the country each week, and also here in the assembly hall. I started to point there, but I'm pointing to a blank wall because one of our projectors is out. That is part of the little mini adventure going on here. Another was that as I came to set up this new software and see how it looked here in the assembly hall, the remote control that has been, this is a remote control that has been in the same like 12 inch by 12 inch space on that countertop for years. It has not moved. It's almost like it had invisible Velcro until I needed it this week and it completely disappeared. So I got reintroduced to every nook and cranny of the center as I looked for the remote. Well, the good news is it magically appeared the next day. However, as that magically appeared, we had a mini adventure in the other building, which is our office. I walked in there after some rain, expecting that as an older building, it might smell a little bit wet and sort of dank, and came to find out that actually there we had a little plumbing leak in the basement, and thankfully Deacon Jason rushed in and told me about it, and we went down there, and literally you could touch the carpet and a little puddle would come up. So that was another little mini adventure that took place, and our faithful member Tom Windmiller took care of that and fixed the plumbing, and that was all good. Interwoven between these little mundane mini adventures at home, our dog had some GI complaints. Does anybody ever have a dog at home? When I say GI complaint, do you know what I'm talking about? Actually, multiple incidences of GI complaints. Not always in the same place, and I won't go into any more detail than that. But let's just say that we went out to buy some extra disinfectant wipes this week. Little guy is still dealing with that. This is all, like I said, I warned you, it's mundane. These are mini adventures in life, and you might have had some at home too. And really, it's all fixable. It's all really minor in the grand scheme of things. These are circumstances. Circumstances of life. And Paul, the apostle, has something to say about circumstances. Think through this week and the circumstances in your life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where again, Paul has been giving us some spiritual foundations for life, he has a word about circumstances that goes like this: give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus to you. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, please note, Paul does not say, give thanks for all circumstances. Catch that? He doesn't. I actually went back to the Greek in the New Testament this week just to confirm. This is a very common word in. It's a very, it's your first week of Greek. You learn this word because it's like, it's just as in English. It's two letters. He really is saying give thanks in all circumstances, but he doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. Paul also does not say give thanks because of any circumstances. It's gratitude in the circumstances, in the midst of the circumstances. And this is an important distinction because I was not grateful for my puppy's GI travails this week, but I worked to remain grateful in the midst of cleaning them up. Not for them, not because of them, certainly not. I could tell you that I was, but I would be lying. We don't have to be grateful for circumstances. The practice is, in the midst of the circumstances that are, how do we cultivate gratitude and practice gratitude? Some people, God love them, come by gratitude very naturally. And if you're one of those, I want to spend more time around you and learn how you do that. These are people that have a lot to teach us, and sometimes it can be so simple. A summary of a story from the LA Times reads as follows. Blooming where you're planted has never been a problem for Los Angeles elevator operator Ruben Pardo. For 35 years, he has driven and steered one of the last manual elevators in the city, located in an office building on Wilshire Boulevard. His life is simple, some might even say a little boring. But his purpose is clear, and his heart is full of joy and gratitude. Every day, young, bright graphic designers, web branders, search engine optimizers ride his elevator, this beautifully ornate elevator, to their loft offices, and every day, Pardo greets them by name with cheer. And when young employees come and go, he is a fixture in the building. One young executive said, "He's been in this elevator longer than I've even been on the planet." Pardo is the son of a shop owner born in Mexico City when he was 7. His family moved to the States. Through hard work like painting garages, shoveling snow, operating elevators like this one, he still manages, and he's able to support himself and eventually his wife. He works 6 days a week, rarely takes paid vacations, but every Sunday he takes his wife to dinner as a gesture of gratitude. Pardo exclaims, "My wife and I are very happy." While the young people in the office building move off to school, get married, travel the world, Pardo remains constant, doing the thing he's done for 35 years. "I love my little small world," he says. "I love my little small world." It could be, for some people, a prison. It could be a recipe for motion sickness. But for him, it's a recipe for happiness and gratitude. Now, that's a great way to move through life, and it's so simple. He's not asking for a lot. He's happy where he is, and he's happy for his family and his job. He's happy for a weekly date with his wife and to meet people who come in the elevator, some strangers, some friends, every day at work. So simple, not being greedy for more, being content with what he has. Gratitude. Take a moment and pause. What are you grateful for today? Maybe it's something simple. What are you grateful for? Have you presenced that in your mind? Just take a moment, say, "Thank you, God. Thank you." Okay, now, what about circumstances where we're not at peace with the circumstances? What about those times when the circumstances are hard, frustrating, we feel sad? This is where the practice of gratitude dovetails so nicely with the practice from last week, which was to pray ceaselessly. The act of praying ceaselessly in our lives builds a base of peace and joy, a sense of oneness with God over time. It becomes like a deep river in the soul where we can dip our feet into the healing waters. You might say that praying ceaselessly puts the world back in perspective, so that we can be grateful again. Because normally circumstances are front and center in our lives, right? The bill has to be paid. The boss said this. The deadline was missed. The car broke down. Circumstances are front and center. Spiritual life takes a back seat. But when we pray ceaselessly, we are always grounded in prayer. We are always grounded in the presence of God in our lives. And that puts what matters back into perspective. So important. And when things are put back into perspective, we can be grateful again. "Thank you, dear God, that my car broke down, but you're still with me. Thank you, dear God, that my boss yelled at me, but I'm a child of God. Thank you, God, that customer was rude to me, but now I pray ceaselessly so I can pray for that person." What would cause them to be rude to people like that? See, it puts things back into perspective. The other thing that praying ceaselessly does is it again roots us back into the presence of God so that we can see where God is present everywhere and say thank you. I'm going to tell one of my favorite stories from Mark Iaconelli's book, Contemplative Youth Ministry, and it's about his son and how his son is sort of a natural contemplative. Iaconelli writes, "My son Joseph is a natural contemplative. When he was 4 years old, he was no longer willing to be hustled to preschool and hurried along on errands. One morning, Joseph announced that he was starting a new organization called Slow Club. Slow Club, in which he would serve as the president. The rules of the club were simple: no running and no hurrying." He must have parents like Julie and I, our parents. Our kids are like, one of our kids had a saying when they were young but were just starting to speak, it was, "No rush me. No rush me, Daddy. No rush me, Daddy." She would have been a good member of Slow Club. Mark says, writes, if I try to pull Joseph along or anxiously urge him to hurry it up, he'd respond calmly, "I'm president of Slow Club, Dad. I don't hurry." At night over dinner, Joseph would talk about his club. He told us about the things he noticed during the day, shook his head at the other kids who always seemed too busy to see the marvels and the treasures so clearly visible to the patient eye: a piece of wire, an interesting bottle cap, an especially smooth rock, a line of ants. From time to time, he would invite neighbors to join this organization, but no one could commit to his charter. One summer while I was teaching at a youth camp, Joseph granted me a free one-day membership to his club. And after playing Ultimate Frisbee with a group of teenagers, the bell rang for lunch. The kids bolted toward the dining hall. Joseph had been watching the game, so I ran over to him, put on my sweatshirt, grabbed his hand, and began pulling him hastily behind the group. I was hungry and I wanted to get a place in line, but Joseph reminded me that I had accepted his free one-day offer to be in Slow Club. I would need to reduce my speed drastically. I took a deep breath and reluctantly slowed to my son's pace. Joseph looked at me satisfied and then said, "You see, Dad, when you slow down, you notice things. Just look around as we walk. You'll see things that everyone else has missed." Quietly, we strolled through the campground, looking carefully at our surroundings. Suddenly, I saw something move off to the side of the path. "Joseph," I whispered excitedly, "look over there." He turned. We both saw two jackrabbits standing on their hind legs watching us. Joseph gave a knowing smile. "I bet we're the only two that noticed those jackrabbits." We walked on, stopping to look at butterflies, strange purple wildflowers, enormous beetles, and a lizard with half a tail. When we joined the rest of the family, we both talked excitedly about the interesting treasures we'd seen. He concludes, "Like Joseph, we need to be members of Slow Club. We invite young people, others, to attend to their lives. We encourage them not to overlook the signs of God's presence. Every time we're around youth and others, we look and listen with slow eyes and ears. We listen for the deep sounds of God when we do ministry. We look patiently for little signs of grace. We cultivate wonder." And I want to add, when we do that, the natural response is to say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God." In a circumstance where we are attentive to the presence of God, the natural response is to say, "Thank you, God. I give thanks." I want to invite you back to that moment where I asked you for what you were grateful for this week. If you had a rough week and you can't think of anything, go back to next week. Or think about something that's coming down the pike and put a deposit down on gratitude and say, "Thank you, God, that this is going to be so wonderful." Take a moment to close your eyes, to let your shoulders relax, fill your seat in the chair. We have some kids in here, so there won't be complete stillness because our kids remind us of the joy of movement. And to the extent you're able, just be quiet and be still and be settled in yourself, be settled in your heart and mind. For what are you grateful? Take a moment. Start making a list, saying thank you to God for each one. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.